Have you ever been there? You're in the kitchen, maybe, looking at a recipe. Calls for 3/4 of a cup of flour, something
Oh,
like that.
yeah, all the time.
And you think, okay, but I only want to make half this recipe. What do you do then? Or maybe you're working on a project, got a piece of wood, 7/8 of a meter long,
Right.
and you need to cut smaller pieces, say 1/4 of a meter each. How many can you actually get? It's funny how often these things pop up, right? They're not just math problems.
Exactly. They're everyday puzzles.
Well, today, that's exactly what we're doing, taking a deep dive into unlocking the secrets, let's say, of multiplying and dividing fractions so you can solve those real-world puzzles. We're digging back into Chapter 8 of our source material, The World of Fractions, Multiplication and Division, the mission. Cut through any, fuzziness, really hit the important stuff.
Get to the core
Yeah,
ideas.
exactly. So you walk away feeling, hopefully, pretty informed and confident with this stuff.
Sounds good. Now, before we jump into the actual multiplying and dividing, let's just quickly jog our memory. Some basics from previous sessions. Remember, fractions are just parts of a whole.
Like that slice of pie or part of your budget.
Right. And they're also a neat way to think about division, the top number divided by the bottom. And we talked about the different kinds, proper fractions, like one half.
Numerator smaller than the denominator?
Two proper ones, like 5/3.
Numerator bigger or equal?
And those mixed numbers, like 1 2/3.
Yeah, the whole number plus a proper fraction bit.
And being able to switch between improper and mixed, or finding equivalent fractions, like knowing one half is the same as 2/4, those are definitely skills we'll need today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating, isn't it, how fundamental fractions are, not just for like math class,
Right?
but just daily life. You mentioned cooking, but think about shopping discounts, measuring for DIY. They're everywhere. And if you think bigger picture, getting comfortable with these fraction operations, it really opens doors. Engineers designing things, scientists needing precise measurements, even finance people calculating returns.
It seems so basic, but it's foundational.
Exactly. Crucial for problem solving, really.
Okay, so multiplication. Let's unpack that first. Now, I think most of us learn, 2 times 3 is 6. Multiplication makes things bigger.
That's the usual intuition, yeah.
But here's the twist with fractions, especially proper ones. Multiplying can actually make your number smaller.
That does trip people up sometimes. It
I
feels
know.
counterintuitive.
Right, but it's key for understanding these part of a part situations. So let's start simple, multiplying a fraction by a whole number. Imagine a painter uses 1/3 of a can of paint per wall.
Yeah.
They need to paint 4 walls. How much paint is that? It's just 4 times 1/3, right? Like adding 1/3 4 times.
Exactly. And the rule follows that logic. You take the numerator, the one part and 1/3, and multiply it by the whole number, the 4.
So 1 times 4 is 4.
Right. And the denominator, the third, which tells you the size of the piece, stays the same. So you get 4/3.
4/3 of a can. Makes sense.
ACB, basically.
Gotcha. And a really important tip here. If you're dealing with a mixed fraction, like say 4 times 2 and 15,
Yes, the mixed number.
you have to convert that mixed fraction first, always. So 2 and 15 becomes, what is that, 115?
11/5, yep. 2 times 5 plus 1.
Then you multiply the 4 by the 11. Do that conversion first. It just makes life easier.
Definitely streamlines it. Avoids errors, too.
Okay, now for the part of a part thing. This is where multiplying fractions really shows its unique side. So imagine you've got half a pizza left over,
Okay, standard situation.
and you're feeling a bit peckish, so you eat 1/4 of that half.
A fraction of a fraction.
Exactly.
Right.
How much of the original whole pizza did you just eat? That's 1/2 times 1/4.
And visualizing this helps a lot. The area model is great here. Picture a square, that's the whole pizza. Shade half of it going one way, say horizontally, then shade 1/4 of it going the other way vertically.
Okay, I can see that.
The part where the shading overlaps, that little rectangle, that's your answer.
And if you divide the whole square up, you'd see that overlap is 1/8.
Exactly. 1/8 of the whole square. It visually shows you're taking a part of a part, ending up with a smaller piece of the original whole.
Cool. And the rule itself is pretty straightforward too, isn't it?
Super straightforward.
Yeah.
Multiply the numerators together, multiply the denominators together.
So 1 times 1 on top is 1, and 2 times 4 on the bottom is 8. 1/8. Simple.
Yep. ACBD. That's the rule. Now, a really useful trick, especially if the numbers get bigger, is canceling common factors before you multiply.
Simplifying first, like pre-reducing.
Exactly. Say you have 4/9 times 3/8.
Okay.
instead of doing 4 times 3, 9 times, look diagonally. You've got a 4 on top and an 8 on the bottom.
They both divide by 4.
Right. 4 divided by 4 is 1.8 divided by 4 is 2. Now look at the other diagonal. 3 on top, 9 on the bottom.
Both divide by 3.
Yep. 3 divided by 3 is 1. 9 divided by 3 is 3. So now instead of 49 times 38, you've got 13 times 12. Much easier.
1/6. Wow, that does make it simpler. Less chance of big numbers and reducing later.
Exactly. It's very efficient.
And just to hammer it home, if you're multiplying mixed fractions by other fractions,
convert them first.
Always convert all the mixed fractions to improper ones before you do anything else.
Absolutely non-negotiable step for multiplication and division. So this brings us back to that question. Does multiplication always make numbers bigger?
And we're seeing, maybe not with fractions.
Not always. And understanding when it does and doesn't helps you estimate, helps you catch mistakes. It gives you number sense.
Okay, so how does that break down?
Well, think about three cases. Case one, if you multiply two numbers, both bigger than one, mm-hmm. like improper fractions or whole numbers, the answer will be bigger than both. Like four. 2 times 43. That's going to be bigger than 43.
Okay, that's the normal expectation.
Case two, multiply two proper fractions, numbers between 0 and 1. Like our pizza example, 12 times 14. The answer, 18, is smaller than both 12 and 14.
Right, the part of a part makes it smaller.
Exactly. And case three, multiply a proper fraction, less than 1, by a number greater than 1. The answer will land between the two numbers you started with.
Oh, interesting. So like 78 times 112, the answer is bigger than 78, but smaller than 112.
Precisely. It falls in the middle ground. Knowing these patterns is super helpful for checking if your answer seems reasonable.
Yeah, I can see that. Good for a quick mental check. Okay, so that's multiplication. Now let's switch gears. Division.
All right.
Division helps with questions like, how many of these fit into that? Right. So maybe you have 3/4 of a cake left.
Lucky you.
Huh. And you want to share it equally among 3 friends? How much cake does each person get? That's a division problem. 3/4 divided by 3.
Mm-hmm. Or another type. If you know a part represents a certain amount and you want to find the whole, like if 2/3 of a journey is 10 kilometers.
As long as the whole journey.
Right. That's also division. 10 divided by 2/3.
Okay. So before we actually divide, you mentioned something important earlier. Reciprocals.
Yes. The reciprocal or multiplicative inverse. It's a key concept. Basically, it's the number you multiply something by to get exactly 1.
Like for 5, the reciprocal is 15. Because 5 times 15 is 1.
Perfect. You got it. It's the undoing number for multiplication.
And finding it for a fraction is just flipping it. Like 27 becomes 72.
Exactly. Just swap the numerator and the denominator.
What about a whole number, like 8?
Think of it as 8 over 1 first.
Ah, okay. Then flip it to get 18.
Precisely. And for mixed fractions, like our old friend 1 and 23.
Convert first. Yeah. Always convert first. So 1 and 23 is 53.
Yep.
So its reciprocal is 35. Flip after converting.
You got the sequence right. Convert, then flip. And it's pretty amazing, this flip idea, this reciprocal rule for division.
Mm-hmm.
It has ancient roots.
Really?
Yeah, the Indian mathematician Brahmagupta, way back in the 7th century CE, documented rules for working with fractions, including division, that are basically what we use today.
Wow, so this isn't new math at all.
Not at all. Foundational ideas passed down through centuries. It's quite humbling, really.
Okay, so how do we use these reciprocals for division? Let's take that juice example. 1/2 of a bottle shared among 4 friends. That's 12 divided by 4.
Right. And the key principle is dividing by a number is the same as multiplying by its reciprocal.
Ah, so instead of dividing by 4,
you multiply by the reciprocal of 4, which is 14.
So 12 divided by 4 becomes 12 times 14.
Exactly. Which we know how to do. That gives us 18. Each friend gets 1/8 of the bottle. It turns division into multiplication, which is often easier.
Okay, that makes sense. And I'm guessing if you're dividing a mixed fraction by a whole number.
Convert first.
Knew it. Convert the mixed fraction to improper, then multiply by the reciprocal of the whole number.
Always the first step. Consistency is key.
Okay, now for the big one. Dividing a fraction by another fraction. This feels like where the real action is.
It often feels like the trickiest, but the rule is universal and elegant.
So that wire example. You have a 4/5 meter long wire. You want to cut pieces that are 1/5 meter long each. How many pieces?
That's 4/5 divided by 1/5. How many 1/5 fit into 4/5?
Intuitively, it feels like 4 pieces.
It is. And the rule gets us there. It's often called keep, change, flip, KCF.
Okay, break that down. Keep.
Keep the first fraction the same. So keep the 4/5.
Change.
Change the division sign to a multiplication sign.
Flip.
flip the second fraction of the divisor to its reciprocal. So 1/5 becomes 5 over 1, or just 5.
Okay, so keep 45, change to times, 15 to 51. Now it's 45 times 51.
Exactly. And now you just multiply like we did before. You can even cancel the 5.
Oh, yeah. The 5 on the bottom cancels the 5 on top, leaving 4 over 1, which is 4.
Four pieces. The rule works. And the why behind it is essentially because dividing asks how many fit. Multiplying by the reciprocal is a way of scaling the dividend appropriately to answer that question. It's mathematically sound.
Keep, change, flip. Okay, I can remember that. And let me guess, if there are mixed fractions anywhere in the division problem.
Convert. Convert all of them to improper fractions before you keep, change, flip.
Got it. Conversion is always step zero.
Pretty much. Get everything into that simple ab form first. So this leads to the flip side of our multiplication question. Does division always make numbers smaller?
Based on the multiplication pattern, I'm guessing?
No.
Yeah.
You're right. It doesn't always make things smaller. And again, knowing when it does or doesn't helps check your work.
Okay, so what are the patterns for division?
Two main cases to think about. Case one, if the number you're dividing by the divisor is a proper fraction between 0 and 1.
Like dividing by 12.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the answer, the quotient, will actually be bigger than the number you started with, the dividend. Think. 5 divided by 12.
Yeah.
How many halves fit into 5 holes?
10 halves, so 10, which is bigger than 5.
Right, because you're asking how many small pieces fit into something larger, so you get a bigger number count.
Makes sense. What's case 2?
Case 2. If the divisor is greater than 1, so an improper fraction or a whole number bigger than 1.
Like dividing by 2 or by 32.
Yep. Then the quotient will be smaller than the dividend, like 6 divided by 2 is 3. 3 is smaller than 6. You're splitting the original amount into larger chunks, so you get fewer of them.
Bigger divisor, smaller answer. Smaller divisor, proper fraction, bigger answer. Interesting relationship.
Very useful for that quick sanity check on your answer.
Okay, this is all great theory, but the real test is often the word problems, right? Taking a real-life situation and turning it into math.
Absolutely. That's where it all comes together. And the first crucial step is figuring out which operation to use, multiplication or division.
Are there key words to look for?
Often, yes. The word of, especially like fraction of a number, usually means multiply. 3/5 of the 40 students. That's 35 times 40.
Okay, of means times. What about division?
Phrases like share equally, cut into pieces, how many fit into. Usually signal division. Cut a 56-meter ribbon into 112-meter pieces. That's 56 divided by 112. And also, that situation where you know a part and want the whole. If 2/5 of a number is 10, find the number. That's division 2, 10 divided by 25.
Got it. So identifying the operation is step one. But sometimes problems aren't just one step.
Very true. Many real-world problems are multi-step. They combine operations.
Like that baker example you might have mentioned, using some dough, then using some of the remaining dough.
Exactly. You have to break it down, calculate the first part, maybe subtract to find what's left, then calculate the next part based on the remainder.
So, like, if they start with 20 kilograms of dough, use 14. That's 5 kilograms. Subtract.
Now they have 15 kilograms left.
Then use 12 of the remaining 15 kilograms. That's 7.5 kilograms. Subtract again.
Leaves them with 7.5 kilograms. It's about following the sequence logically, step by step.
Don't try to do it all at once.
Precisely. Break it down. And this really brings us back to the practical stuff, like scaling that recipe we started with. Want double the cake? Multiply ingredients by 2. Want half a cake? Multiply by 12.
So multiplying by a proper fraction is how you scale down.
Exactly. Understanding these isn't just about passing a test. It's about successful baking, accurate building, managing your money or time effectively.
Yeah.
It's really practical.
So wrapping this up, it feels like we've really gone through chapter 8 pretty thoroughly.
Yeah.
Multiplying, dividing fractions.
Yeah, we've covered the mechanics, the how-to.
Looked at the rules, the shortcuts, like canceling, the critical convert mixed numbers first rule.
And importantly, the why behind it, like why multiplying by a fraction can make things smaller and why dividing by 1 can make things bigger.
Plus, seeing them in action with word problems, recipes, connecting it back to the real world.
Hopefully, you now feel equipped to tackle these problems, not just following rules blindly, but understanding what's happening and being able to judge if an answer makes sense.
Yeah, that number sense piece feels really important.
It is. It builds confidence.
All right, so before we finish, here's something to chew on, a little provocative thought.
Nah.
What if reciprocals didn't exist?
Interesting question.
Like, if that concept of a multiplicative inverse, that flip, just wasn't part of our math toolkit. How would we even do division with fractions?
Could we? Would we need a completely different system?
Yeah, could it even be possible? It makes you realize how fundamental that seemingly simple keep, change, flip idea really is, doesn't it?
It really does. A lot hinges on that simple flip.
Something to ponder.